Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. I am Jennifer Stone and filling in for Dave Petz. So today on this beautiful, sunshiny spring day, finally no snow.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, Tom Brown also joining me. We are both certified financial planners with Petzo Financial, and we get to fill in for Dave every once in a while, and it's very fun. So, of course, we want your phone calls.
Yes.
580-KIDO, 580-5436, or if you prefer, email jstone@petzofinancial.net. What a week. Another week. Another up week.
Yeah, surprisingly.
I know. And everything's negative, and we're still having positive market returns.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year after last year that we're actually positive.
It is. I know. And obviously Friday was a rough day, but we still finished the week up. And another interesting statistic, because we do like our numbers, both the NASDAQ and the S&P last week were up 1.56%.
Interesting.
How often does that happen?
Probably hardly ever.
Yeah. So we have a lot of things we want to cover today. We want to touch a little bit on what was different this tax season. We want to talk also on, now that you're close to retirement, are you ready? We spend a lot of time talking about getting there and saving and budgeting and trying to make that retirement goal. But when do you know you're ready? So we're going to do that next hour. But before we get to that, we did want to spend a little bit of time talking about taxes and also the interesting thing about the market. To me, I sit back a lot and talk with clients about how easy it really truly is to become independently wealthy. You don't have to create the biggest business. You don't have to do these things that you think it's required. You don't have to win the lottery. You can actually just put a little money aside, let it grow. I know I'm going to steal the cup of coffee a day thing that we talk about all the time, but it's true. It's not just about cutting back on the coffee. It's just saying it's such a simple thing to do instead of it's blowing a lot of money on things just to set some aside. $150 a month in 40 years invested in the S&P would grow to over $1 million. That's a sizable amount of money.
Yeah, we are. Dave and I made up a thing that says it's the easiest, hardest thing anybody can do. It's it's easy to do and hard to stick with it.
It is.
And it's so hard to understand why. I think once people have been successful with it, then they decide that this isn't working anymore. They build up some money, then we have a market downturn, and they decide that, well, maybe this isn't what they should be doing, and they quit doing it. And it's really surprising.
It is. And you sit there and say, well, you know what? If I had a rental, I have steady income coming in. Well, you do until the tenant leaves or until something breaks and you have to fix it. But with the market, you don't have to do anything. You don't show up when something breaks and have to fix it. You don't call a plumber at midnight when the toilet clogs. None of this comes when you just invest in the market. But for that, you have to watch the daily market volatility. And that's where we get thrown off. I know Dave talks about this frequently, but it's true. That Fidelity study of if you forget you have money or you don't know you had it or you pass away, those are your best investors. That's because you just let the market do what it does.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. There are so many studies out there that come to the same conclusion, right? And but then we want to be completely like, well, this time it's different, so that information isn't credible anymore,
right?
Which it happens over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. And I get the emotional side of it. I do. No one likes the feeling of losing money. We redid our income story again, and we do this every year at the end of the year. Talk about the greatest income story never told is the dividends coming from investments. So we just did the illustration on the S&P. And again, income went up from last year to this year. Even though the price went down, the income went up. And that's a very difficult thing to comprehend because we all look at the market price and say that affects what we can take. That affects our income. But if you're only taking the distributions and companies were more profitable, they increase that dividend that they pay to their shareholders, which means that's more money in your pocket, even though that price pulled back.
How much did it go up last year?
It was a little over 9%.
Isn't that incredible? Mm-hmm. In a year that was down.
Yep. So that's what we have to focus on. That's why we always say, look at what matters, and that's what it pays you. The true value of any investment is what you make on it, right? Not that price movement.
Right. And it is so hard for people to disconnect that because they're so trained to look at that bottom line number, right?
And it did go down last year, right?
Yep.
Even though you got more money to spend, the price and what you focus on went down.
Yeah.
We used to use the illustration all the time of a person walking on an escalator, right? They get on that escalator. The income is your smooth ride up, and they're tossing a yo-yo. The yo-yo is the price of the investment. Do you focus on that smooth ride on the escalator, or do you get focused on the yo-yo? It's really easy to focus on the yo-yo of that price, but we need to focus on what's important, and that's the income your investment brings to you. And now it's even easier, right? Now we can look back into stepping into bonds a little bit more because they're paying stuff. Money markets. Funny how people forgot what a money market was because they weren't used for so long. So when we encourage people or say, hey, if you have some cash, there are money markets that are paying a little bit. They're like, what's a money market?
Mm-hmm. And or, you know, there for about a month, every call would be, I saw Idaho Central had a CD that's 5.1%. What do you think about CDs? Mm-hmm. You're just like CD. And we hadn't talked about those for so long. Not saying that that's the greatest thing in the world, but now that interest rates have come up, the new things, conversation pieces haven't been around for 12, 15 years, because we haven't had normal interest rates.
Right. And the thing with that too, though, those 5% CDs are shorter term. It used to be if you wanted any interest, you had to go out 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? So it's interesting that the market shifts. That's why we say it's never an all or nothing decision, or very rarely an all or nothing decision. You have to look at the ground conditions and decide how to build your portfolio based on what it's giving you. That doesn't mean timing that. Because it kind of sounds that way when we say, oh, now you look at what's going on and you shift things around. You make small changes based on what you're given.
Yeah. Like people go, what are you guys doing? If the market's down, we go, we're looking for opportunities, right? We're looking at things change, and you have to shift with those changes. But it isn't because of the drop in the market necessarily. It's because things have changed, and now we can have opportunities to invest in things we didn't have before.
Yes, and when you get the opportunity to buy some of the greatest corporations in the world at a discounted price, it's funny. We always say, if this company dropped to this price, I'd be all in. I'd buy it. I just wish I would have done it when they were cheaper. Man, look at how well they've done. Then they drop back. I don't think I want to do that.
When I was at Micron, that would happen all the time. When that talk about a volatile stock, and people would do that. When it gets down to $5 again, I am getting a second mortgage, and I'm just backing up the truck and buying as much as I can. Then they'd get down that, well, maybe I'm going to wait. It might go down farther.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it would be 50 again. They go, oh, shoot. Next time it goes down again.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the upside as well, right? If something does extremely well, you never want to trim the winners and buy losers. Even though we all know we want to sell high and buy low, we don't when it gets there. Because what if it goes higher? Which it always will. So then you sit back and you go, okay, well, you know what? This is what my goal is. This is my objective. And I've talked about that several times too. If you have a company that you want to get out of and you set a mental target, do it and don't look back.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to, because it will get cheaper and it will get more expensive on either side. So you just have to make the best decision based on your objective. That's why it's really, really important to set goals and targets and make, I even say write it down so that when it happens, you can go back and say, no, I said I would do this.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, because I always say, well, what is your plan for that? Well, I hope it goes up. Well, to what point? Well, sometime. And then what are you going to do if you sell and it does do that? What are you going to do with the money? I don't know. It's that whole thing of just, I just want to buy something that my friend told me to buy, and I hope it goes up in value, but I have no plan after that happens.
Right. All right. We are going to take a quick break, then we're going to go to the phones, and then we're going to talk a little bit about taxes, because I'm really interested, since Tom does do a separate tax business called Marathon Tax. He's doing a lot of returns right now, and luckily he stepped away to help me do the show today, but I really want to talk to him and see what's different, because everybody is telling me, oh, you know, my tax refund went down this year, but did it, or did things just go back to the way they were? Anyways, want your phone calls, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. As always, we love phone calls, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Or if you prefer email, shoot me an email at jstone@pezzofinancial.net. All right, we're just going to go ahead and jump to the phones. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Jennifer and Tom. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Have you guys heard of a company called Enviva?
NVIDIA?
No, Enviva.
No.
Anyway, they make wood pellets and kind of an alternate energy source. And first off, you say that nobody likes to lose money. This is true. But also, there's such a thing as if it seems too good to be true, it could be.
Oh, 100%.
So, for instance, a couple of months ago, my advisor brought that up, you know. And so I did a little bit of research according to Yahoo Finance and like Yield, dividend. And they had gone from like 2015 to present, high yield, like 14%. They wound down. So we finally bought 100 shares, and then the day after I bought another 100 shares, and the yield was like nearly 8%, 7 whatever. And I'm thinking that's rather high. Well, the price has dropped to now it's in the low 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring up to her, I say, okay, now the yield, if it's legitimate, is 15%, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking something is wrong with this picture. But the problem is that sometimes they give return of capital and call it dividends.
Of course, right? Yep.
Which is deceptive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Extremely deceptive. And I will not put up with that. But my advisor doesn't seem to see any red flags at all. Hmm. So,
No, absolutely. When people talk about like searching for yield and they go with the highest earners, that's not always the best decision. You really need to understand the underlying business model itself. And if you're doing it on your own, understand their financials. So if they're not able to make that dividend and they are giving you back your return of capital, that is concerning. So, absolutely. When we're looking at them, there's so much more to researching any investment than just what it pays you or even the performance. But yeah, there are times when prices come down, so those yields go up based on current price, but based on what you paid for it is a different number too.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I mean, companies shouldn't do that, but I mean, Yahoo Finance, and nobody would really trust that too much anyway.
Right.
Well, you get a statement, see, and it'll say dividend, but it'll be adjusted at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of that may be return of capital.
Or capital gains as well, right? If there's something like on a mutual fund on that statement too, if you see that yield, it does include what they paid out in total.
But that would be mutual fund. That
correct.
Would be an individual
right, exactly.
Stock.
Yep. But that's just something on those statements that's kind of sometimes a little bit difficult to read. Individual stocks do that, but not as we see it a lot with real estate type mm-hmm. investments too, where they do that.
Some energy companies.
Some energy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are companies that do that. And mutual funds, if you look on your statement, they may show a higher than expected yield, especially in big years when they pay out. So watch that.
You just have to watch out for that. And
correct.
I just I know accounting, and that's not proper accounting. So.
Correct.
Thanks so much. Well, have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. You too.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Yes. So we don't have a lot of time to finish this hour, but I did want to just start to talk a little bit about tax season this year. It seems that the headlines everywhere are saying people are getting less back in their returns. People are getting less of a credits or whatever it is. But sometimes people don't really look at the numbers, just like what we were talking mm-hmm. about with Jim, right? There's so many underlying factors in investing and in accounting mm-hmm. and the market and everything that goes into it that it's not sometimes as cut and dry as you want it to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of two different camps here because people have kids and so forth are getting less of a refund than they did last year because they reduced a lot of the credits and so forth that they did for stimulus for 1 year.
Right. Which we're not going to let you just get away with that simple answer. That's what I was kind of saying. Let's go into it a little more detail after we get through this top of the hour. Reason why is there's so much that goes into these discussions, and what we're hoping to do by touching on it is maybe give you some ideas to be proactive for tax season next year instead of reacting to what you see when you're getting your taxes done. It might make it a little more comfortable, but again, give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 580-5436 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo today. Phone calls always welcome at 580-KIDO 580-5436 or email jstone@petzofinancial.net. So, tax season. It's what a year time of
One
year
more
for
days.
You, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He looks pretty awake today, which is surprising after everything.
Yep. Two cups of coffee.
That's it?
Yep, so far.
So, a lot of headlines this year are people are paying more in taxes than they expected. So what it came down to was, did things really change or did they just go back to the way they were before COVID?
Yeah. So it for people that have kids, it definitely is less because last year they had extra child dependent care credit. They had child tax credit extra, went from $3,600 from 2000 up to $3,600. You had a whole lot of stuff about that. Earned income credit was expanded for 1 year. And then all of that was a one-year thing. So that part of it, people are getting less refunds. So that is where you're getting a lot of that because they were getting thousands and thousands of dollars more just because they had kids or where their circumstances were. Actually, in some cases, people are having less of a tax bill because last year was there was a lot of people paying more taxes because of capital gains from previous to that. So you have another spectrum that have actually their tax bill are going down. It doesn't mean that refunds are going up, but their tax bills are going down because we had a lot of clients that had a lot of capital gains that those capital gains aren't there this last tax season.
Which is always interesting, right, to have the discussion mm-hmm. with, yes, the market was down, but you had capital gains.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and explain the difference because I know this is basic, but a lot of times people get very confused between deductions and credits. So take a second and just explain the difference.
Yeah, so a deduction reduces your taxable income, so the tax is calculated on a lesser amount, while a credit actually reduces the tax owed dollar for dollar. So child tax credits, earned income credits, all those kind of credits reduce your tax bill directly. Mm-hmm. And some of them are refundable, so even if you didn't pay in that much, you can still get more back than you put in. The earned income credit is famous for that.
Gotcha. So do you think because we've had high inflation, everyone knows things are costing more, have you noticed income increasing? Because you've done folks' taxes probably for a lot of years, the same people. Earnings, like working class, are they going
up? Across the board. And that's been going on for a few years now. Mm-hmm. In fact, one thing I do at the end of the tax is I go through a comparison. And almost every time people are up five or more percent from the year before, from 2021 to 2022, this.
Good. Earnings. That's good.
Yeah.
One positive, right? Another reason you owe more tax, right?
Yeah. People grumble at the bottom line, but I try to have them focus on the top line.
So what in the future can you do? Because right now is a good time of year to plan. A lot of people wait till last minute to make changes and you don't have enough year left. So going forward, looking at maybe changing your deductions through your employer, making sure if you're taking IRA distributions that you're withholding enough and paying estimated taxes.
Right. If there's, especially in couples that both are working and one makes more than the other, then really focus on those worksheets to calculate how much you should have withheld because they changed the W-4 forms a few years ago and they made them simpler, but they made them so simple they're almost unusable right now. So you really have to do a lot more work. And there was a line item at the bottom of the W-4 and it says additional amount you'd like withheld. That is really where you can adjust where you want to because the old 0 to 10 dependence thing is gone. So you can't really say, well, I'm going to just claim zero, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that isn't work as well anymore. So you have to really do a little bit more work. There's worksheets. There's a worksheet on the IRS website to help people do a better. I see that probably as the biggest issue people have that are owing mm-hmm. is, especially in two wage earners, is that they're just not withholding enough from the smaller paycheck, and that's where they end up owing. So doing a better job of doing that would be I'd say number one for most people that are in working years.
Okay. I think there's a calculator too, right, on the IRS website,
yeah.
So you don't have to go in and like manually
right.
do
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Okay. You can just plug them in and it'll tell you.
Good. And another thing, increase your contributions to your retirement plans.
Right, exactly. And, right? And people should continue to take that because that is really, as far as adjusting or having some control over your taxable income, that is probably the number one if you have it available to do.
Mm-hmm. And also pay attention to a couple things. Just because you owe tax at tax time doesn't mean you're maybe in a high bracket. So talk to your tax preparer too, because Roth IRAs are still a great way to contribute. Most employer plans now offer that as an option inside so you can do some after tax money. No one likes to pay tax. I understand that. But make sure you understand what you're truly paying. Just because you owe doesn't mean you're in a high bracket. So work with your advisor, work with your tax preparer, and look at those numbers to see if a Roth or a traditional makes more sense.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And I see that a lot where people, they owe $500 and they're losing their mind.
I right? know.
And you need to kind of expand that and go, you know, you're only in the 8% tax effective tax rate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So even though no one likes to write a check, sometimes the big picture is that down the road, it'll be a lot more effective putting into a Roth than trying to reduce your tax will end come down to nothing.
Yes, and reducing it now and you defer everything means you're going to pay one day. So because you defer paying the tax till later doesn't mean you're not going to pay tax on those dollars. And you don't know what brackets will be. You don't know how much money you'll save. So you're making a bet that you'll be in a much lower bracket later and you're deferring today.
Right.
So just look at that.
Another thing, people that are getting ready to take Social Security, really educate yourself on what the tax consequences of that are. Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing I get is that first year of taking Social Security is quite a, can be quite of a shock to people because they didn't realize the part of their Social Security could be taxable.
Mm-hmm. And the hard part, too, is you can make a very small adjustment to your income when you're drawing Social Security, and it can make so much more of it taxable and really increase your tax bill. So planning does need to be done.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. Also, extension. Everybody thinks an extension means that you don't have to pay your tax until later.
I'll tell you what, if that was the case, then no one would pay their taxes on time, right? Everybody would file an extension. Extensions are only give you extra time to file the taxes. The taxes are still due on Tuesday this year. And if you don't, then there's interest and penalties will start piling up for federal and state. So you need to pay attention to that. If you're going to extend and you think you're going to owe, make a payment and try to at least pay in as much as you would have owed last year is a good rule of thumb.
Good. So if you pay in at least what you owed last year, they won't hit you with penalties?
That's that 100% of last year will keep you from getting a penalty added to the tax.
Okay.
But the tax is still owed, so they'll tack on interest based on what you would have owed on April 18th. So it's just a good thing to, and even if you can't get all of it, just get some of it, you'll be a lot farther ahead than waiting the last minute.
Good, good. And tax filing deadline, if you extend, is in October?
Yep.
Okay, but that doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean you can extend the time to pay. You got to pay. You can just extend the filing deadline.
Right, exactly.
So question on that. The normal reason for filing extensions, if you have to pay anyways, is?
You don't have all your information. Okay. A lot of times that's because some of these companies or maybe a family or a state or whatever is still haven't issued what is called a K-1 statement. People get those and lose their minds later. They go, why did this come late? So anyway, that's a big part of it. Some people are just procrastinate and don't get their stuff together, and especially self-employed people.
Okay, good. So the final line is please pay attention to what you're contributing through your employer. If you're taking distributions from your IRA, you can withhold. You can withhold on Social Security. There are ways to prepay tax. You can do estimates as well. Some people like to write those checks and be in control, but if that's not something you want to do, just withhold from whatever place you're getting income.
Yep.
And it'll make it way easier.
Yeah. And one thing people don't understand until later is there's an under withholding penalty. So if you don't pay your taxes ahead of time or on time, then the IRS can hit you with an under withholding penalty at the end of the year.
Okay.
So that's why getting them done on a timely basis is a good idea.
Good, good. Any other tips that you would give people as they're heading into the year?
I would say basically take control of your situation. Don't just look at your tax return and really decide, you know, I'm going to not just let this happen. Make some concrete steps. Get more informed about how it works.
Mm-hmm.
More informed about itemized deductions versus standard deduction. That's a thing that I go back and forth with people because, you know, they don't. Here I paid, you know, $200 to the dentist, so that's deductible, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes insurance. Remember, if you're paying health insurance, that's one big thing that people miss. If you're paying health insurance premiums, you'd get a deduction on your Idaho tax return, whether you itemize or not. So it's always important for especially retirees, if you're paying that Medicare supplement, make sure that you're getting that included because you could save yourself some money on the Idaho state tax return.
Perfect. And another way to remember, and this one is talked about a lot now, is required minimum distributions. When you get to a certain age, you have to take money out of those pre-taxed accounts that you've deferred till later. They changed it again. I don't understand why they keep messing with this. It just makes more confusion. But right now, the age is, if you are 73 this year, you have to take a required minimum distribution. They adjusted the factors they use, so the amounts have changed slightly. So there's new tables everywhere if you like to calculate that on your own. Otherwise, whoever you hold your money with will help you run that number. But with that, if you do any charitable giving, because the standard deduction currently is so high, itemizing is not done by most. So if you do any charitable giving, remember you can give away your required minimum distribution up to $100,000 and not pay tax. But you have to tell your accountant, because 1099 forms come out at the first of the year. They just show money out of the IRA. If they don't know you did that, they will not be able to put it on a different line item.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up, is that really make sure, especially if you're just dropping your stuff off for the accountant, put notes in there and say, remarry, because they won't take it for granted, especially on this, what you're talking about. They won't know. And if it's a thing where you're just dropping your stuff off and you come pick it up and you don't have a conversation, you won't realize that they didn't know, and they didn't realize you didn't. They didn't know. And then now you're paying taxes on a charitable distribution that you go, oh, I just saved a bunch of money. I don't know why I owed tax, but whatever. Yeah, I'm sure they knew. And so taking things for granted is hard. That's why I think making sure that you're working together with your accountant instead of just like once a year, here's my stuff, is important.
And also on contributions to retirement plans, you have to make sure you tell your accountant about those as well, because the tax form, it's a 5498. It comes out after April 15th, normally April 18th this year. We'll say what you made as a contribution, but we won't get those until after you file your taxes. So if you've made a contribution to a retirement plan, please let them know.
Yeah.
Because that also affects your income.
Yeah. And very rarely do people give you the 5498 later. They usually include in their taxes for the next year. And then now you have to amend. So, just good communication is really important.
It is. Sometimes I think people feel there's this magic space out there that you can just push a button and everything you did for the year goes pouring into your tax return. But it's not quite that simple. Although it would be nice it was.
Not yet. But
it will.
I suspect that AI and that kind of thing, not to now be conspiracy theory, but pretty soon, you know, all the information tied to you is just going to say, oh, here's your tax.
Yeah.
And I will not be so busy in the spring.
No, you won't. All right. We do want to talk about, now that you've gotten to the age you would like to retire, are you ready? That's a personal discussion a lot, but also we can give you some tips to just think about as you approach that. But we're going to take a break because we really want to have some time to talk about it. Call us if you have questions on taxes or anything else that we've discussed, but we are going to move into talking about retirement. Are we ready to do this or should we work a little longer? Phone number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo today. Thank you for joining us. We really, really do enjoy coming in and doing this every once in a while, and we do love talking with you. So if you're not out enjoying the sunshine yet, because it's still a little chilly out there, give us a call. We'd love to answer your questions. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, jstone@petzofinancial.net. No, we're talking a lot about different topics today, but we had so many things we wanted to talk about, we didn't even know where to start. So we
said, spring.
Yeah, let's just do it, right? Yeah. So now the question that I've been getting a lot, because we've had clients for a long time, is, am I ready to retire? It's a great question, right? We always talk about building to retirement, but when is the point that you go, oh, I'm there? When do we start living off that pile of cash that we built up instead of adding to it? What does that look like? First question always is, how do I retire? Well, that's easy. The easiest part is how to, but then am I ready to? And then after retirement, how do I draw income? Retiring's easy. You get your money. You tell your employer you're leaving. If you have pensions, you pick how you're going to get paid. Then you roll over your 401k if you choose, or you leave it where it is and you just quit. Yep. That part's easy.
Yep. Quit.
Yep.
You're retired.
It's done. But the hard part is, are you ready? One of the things you really, really need to do is sit down and look at the budget. I know people hate it. Everyone says, I don't care. I just live on what I have. But if you're going to retire and you now have a completely different income source and way of drawing income, you have to know what you're spending.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to call it a budget, call it your monthly cash flows.
Correct. But you got to know.
You do. And don't just focus on the essentials. Mm-hmm. Focus on the things that could happen every once in a while, too. You have to include that.
Because people retire at 67 years old and they say, I'm going to buy a new car before I retire. So that car is going to last you 30 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to buy another car. Your house will stop needing repairs because you did them before you retired. So all those things that you can do, yes, I agree. Be proactive because it will buy you time in retirement, but you still will have those unexpected things come up that you still have to plan for. So add that to your budget. Add to your budget the unknown spending of free time. Mm-hmm. Right? You can say, you know, I'm no longer going to go to work every day, so I don't need to buy lunch. I'm not going to wear suits. Not that many people do anymore, but you're going to not have dress clothes. You're not going to have all these expenses that you normally had while working. But those will be replaced with, man, I'd sure like to fix my backyard up. Boy, I really wanted to take that trip. So it will have replacement expenses, especially when you have the freedom of retirement.
Yeah. And I think, and working with Dave and you for so long, if you instead of waiting till the last minute to say, now I'm retired, I need to go talk to somebody. That's why planning for this years in advance is so important, just because not only you plan on not working anymore, but you also plan on that, especially that initial couple of years, what the stuff you want to do, because it's like open Disney, you know, the gates of Disney and running out there and go, I want to do everything, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And having a plan for that. So you have a bucket list. Hey, we want to go to Europe. We want to do this. And you start setting aside the funds for that instead of deciding after the fact, oh, mm-hmm, we should do this.
Right. And if you think you can truly live on less than you are, do it. Try it. Mm-hmm. See how that feels before you lose your income stream. And another thing that I have always told clients that I feel is a really fun experiment is a married couple to separate from each other, go into different rooms or wherever it is, and write down the top 5 to 10 things that you always wanted to do in retirement. The reason I like you to do it separately is when you talk about it, one may just go, oh, yeah, I would like to do that too, and agree with each other. Not a bad thing. It's a good thing that you agree on a lot. But just knowing how the other one feels about retirement is a really fun thing. Had a couple come back, and it's not really for me, but a lot of people bring it back to us to talk about, which is fun too. But I remember one client came back and they said, do you want to know what our list was? I'm like, of course I do. One of them said, paying the power, making sure we have lights, groceries, food, and went down the list of essentials. And the other was travel the world, buy a boat, get a cabin. All it was such a wide array of what they were talking about. And they had to come together and laugh about it because they realized one was so concerned about making their essential needs and the other one had all these fun dreams. So it's fun to do that.
Yep. And that probably happens more often than not, where you have one that is more practical and one that is, and that's why it works together. It works great for a married couple to do that, because that is the way it should be, right? Mm-hmm. If you're both, let's travel, let's do all this, all that, they'd probably end up driving themselves into a ditch and never getting any bills paid. Another one, if we just did all the practical stuff, then mowing the yard is going to be the biggest event during for the week. So right. No one would ever do anything. So having that one person pulls you out of the shell and the other one makes sure things get paid. So I think that's a valuable combination.
Yeah. And don't just go into this after the fact and then try to fix it. So a lot of times we've seen retirees come in once they've retired and they weren't quite there. And it's much more difficult to go get those high paying jobs after you retire, because most are at the peak of their career right before retirement. And then they come to us and say, I took my Social Security at 62 and I have X amount in retirement, and they don't quite have enough. And it's a much harder discussion with people, and they feel uncomfortable when you tell them, I think you kind of did wrong here. You can buy out of Social Security if you do it within a year. So look at that. I don't feel anyone really should take it at 62 unless there's some really outlying circumstances, health or issues. But look at those situations prior to pushing the button to retire. Ask for advice, because we're not personally invested in your situation. You are. So you're going to want to do what you feel is best for you and your emotions. We look at the numbers and say, here, this is where you're at. I'm not sure you're quite there yet.
Yeah. And especially if you can do that as within 5-10 years, where you're starting really the conversation, because maybe there's ways that you can be reducing your expenses. Let's say get the house paid off, get some debt paid off, get some things paid for that you don't have to do, like replacing the roof, doing the air conditioner, those kind of things, having all those that you aren't having. Because once you have those expenses when you're not working, it's a lot more stressful on you, because you don't have that paycheck coming in. You're going, we're just going to spend, you know, $10,000 on a furnace, air conditioner. And even though you can afford it, it's a little bit more anxiety than when you're working.
Absolutely. And also having that steady paycheck come in versus trying to figure out how to distribute money. pensions were around a lot. They're very rare now, unless you're a state employee or a federal employee or something that had it before. So now you get a pile of money that you get to decide how to spend, which with that freedom brings a lot of concern, because how do you do it and not run out? But I like it because you have the ability to leave stuff to your heirs if you choose to. And flexibility of maybe I don't need that much, and this year I need a little more. So it gives you more freedom and flexibility, but that gives you uncertainty.
Yeah, a lot more responsibility.
Yes.
To be paying attention to it instead of just getting a check every month.
Yep. All right. And then, you know, when can you retire? Well, that comes down to what's best for you and your family and everyone else. But we do look at survivors, too, because if you do have pensions, how do you draw that to make sure that both of you will get an income? How do you look at different things to see how much do I really do need in retirement? Can I cut back? Are there dreams that I have that I really want to do? I have this type of asset. I have that type of asset. Where do I draw from first? You know, we're going to talk about that a little more, but I think we should take a break first so that we have a little more time to do so. And again, we'd love a phone call. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pett. So today, talking taxes, paying retirement, all sorts of things. But before we do that, we're going to go to Terry. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Jennifer. Morning, Tom.
How are things?
Hi, Terry.
Oh, I've just been out committing a goat head murder.
Oh.
Spray down the driveway just before they get a good head start this year and see if I could head them off some. So.
Probably a good idea.
But, hey, I've been practicing this retirement thing for about 23 years, so do you think it's about time we start some planning?
You're a lost cause.
It's over. It's too late for you.
Ah, damn. Okay. But, no, I just wondered if Tom had what he did to get in so well with the Fed and the state tax people. Because I had my Fed return back in about 10 days, oh, and the state people were a couple of days behind them.
Yeah, that, I have a special connection. They definitely like me, I guess. So, yep.
that's why he does so many tax returns, right? People love him because he's got that way.
Yeah, I got the magic.
Yeah, all I know is I think well of him. He's done good by me.
Good. We like to hear that.
There you go. I'm going to put you on the billboard.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing you missed a little bit, at least I missed it if you talked about it, was all the people looking for this big return, this big refund, when people need to have it emphasized to them, why are you letting the government have an interest-free loan of your money until it comes tax time?
You know, it's interesting because we encourage people not to overpay taxes, but a lot of people use that almost as a savings because they aren't good savers. So they figure this is the best way that they can build up some cash. I know it doesn't make money sense at all, but to them, it's one way that they can say every year at this time, I get a pile of money to do something with.
Yep.
Yeah, I just have to resist slapping them upside the head a couple of times and saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, buckle down and do it the right way.
Yeah. You know, we work on that all the time. I think that's one of our biggest things is trying to get people to do what they don't want to do with their money.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm more than happy to slap people upside the head. But
yeah, we send them to Tom for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, leave a mark.
Well, yeah, that's old interrogation technique thing. But no, for years I had the... What I wanted to do was be within $100 plus or minus mm-hmm. on both the Fed and the state. And because of inflation now, I've upped it to $500.
Mm-hmm.
But if it goes any farther than that, then I screwed up somewhere along the line.
Yep.
Good. But I think people are just – I think you're exactly right. They have no other discipline, so they'd much rather just give it away and give it back. And they're so terrified of owing that they're more than happy that the government have it. Not that that's a good idea, but that's mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. argument.
And I would rather, because it is so easy for them to overpay taxes, that we also encourage to save into 401ks, even though maybe Roth on the outside would be easier. If it's done automatically and it's taken right out of your paycheck, it's not missed and people will do it. If you have to make the decision to save, it's always a thought. Oh, the market's down today. Maybe I'll wait, or this happened, or I've got this expense coming. And something will always stop you from doing it if you get the choice. If it just happens automatically, you'll do it. So that's why I think people over withhold.
Yep.
Tomorrow never comes.
Yep. Exactly what they say. Tomorrow's not a day.
Yeah. But and then again, in this day and age, if we trust the government, our priorities are a little skewed anyway. So
totally new topic, right, Terry?
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in for fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. All right. Well, you kids have a wonderful weekend.
All right. You too. All right, so I want to ask a question, too, because we're talking taxes, so we might as well jump all in, right? So if you get to retirement and you have different buckets of money, that's what we hope people do. Most of the people that have been in retirement for some time tend to have a lot more pre-tax dollars because, again, back to what we were talking mm-hmm. about, where it's deferred from your paycheck and it just naturally builds mm-hmm. up. With the new addition of Roth options to all of the different types of retirement accounts, you can now have the pre-tax and after-tax, so you're not pigeonholed into always managing for taxes. So I've had a lot of discussion recently when people want to pass money on to their heirs. They say, we should do Roth conversions. Pay the tax now so that our kids don't have to. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's always becomes a discussion of what is the purpose of your money, right?
Right.
Is it to leave your kids with a lot of after-tax dollars so that they get to spend it all quickly and mm-hmm. use it for something? Or maybe you're in a higher bracket, so why would you pay the tax?
Right. I have that conversation a lot with people in there. And, you know, either I don't care. They'll do whatever they want. I'm just going to live for me. Or they're just like, I don't want them to pay anything. I don't want them to pay any tax. And they're almost like, you know, really
frozen.
Catatonic
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And I say, let's look at this as like a team game where everybody's on the team. Let's try to pay the least amount of taxes as a team. Maybe the kids are in a lower tax bracket and they're going to be than you are. Then why pay a bunch of taxes for them when you could transition the money to them and they'll pay less taxes mm-hmm. as a team or vice versa? You're in a really super low tax bracket. Then maybe it makes sense to
yes.
do that. But this all or nothing, or I just don't want them to ever pay anything. Well, it's okay if they pay some taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there is no firm line in the sand. Everybody needs to give all their kids tax-free money or vice versa.
Yeah, and the hard part, too, when they change the rule from allowing kids to inherit money and stretch it over their life to a 10-year payout, that's a very difficult situation now too, because somebody's going to get a lot of tax mm-hmm. whether you do it or they do it or whoever is going to pay more. So looking at it and saying, you know, if I pay a little bit and I stretch that tax bracket, right, mm-hmm. that's why working hand in hand with the tax preparer makes a lot of sense, because they can tell you up to this level you'll pay here.
Right.
And maybe your kids are in a 32% tax bracket, so maybe it does make sense. But my thing is, you always take care of yourself first. If the kids get something after, that's great. But some people feel different. They feel like, I want to take care of my kids and I'll sacrifice.
Yeah.
So you got to plan for that as well.
Yeah, I, like I said, everything is different, and having those goals of doing that. And one thing also, you don't have to do this like instantly, like, I got to do that this year. You can stretch that kind of plan out for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do a conversion, small conversion over time instead of doing one big one all at once.
Right. But when you get into retirement too, don't just look at only not paying tax, because that mm-hmm. also kicks the can down the road. If once you get to the required distribution age and you have to take large amounts, mm-hmm. as that IRA continues to grow, that income continues to increase. And then all of a sudden your non-qualified money, which is money that you've paid tax on, or Roth money may be all gone because you didn't want to pay tax.
Right.
You don't have to wait to draw from your IRA until you're forced to. Plus, the one thing is Social Security, the more income you have, if you wait on Social Security, you wait on taking distributions, all of a sudden you've pushed yourself into a very high bracket.
Yeah, you've painted yourself into a corner where you don't have any options. And
mm-hmm.
and that's the worst case. Not the worst, but it's... That's not the preferable way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Story, just because I like stories. We had a client that wanted to buy a condo years ago down in Florida, and they didn't need a lot to do so. So they wanted to take a chunk of money out. And when they realized, because all they had were pre-tax dollars, how much it would cost to get $50,000 out, when they grossed that up for taxes, they made the decision not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does tie your hands there too.
Yeah. And you don't want to have to dance with the IRS every time you have something like that. Maybe not buying a condo, but maybe buying a car or
sure.
buying a, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. And you're always going, well, I need 10,000, but I got to take out 15. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do that over and over and over. And it is a way that it eats away. Like you're saying, you push everything out. You don't take anything. The age old thing, take tax advantage money first and then defer the deferred money until later mm-hmm. isn't really a good idea. It's doing a little bit of everything is along the way is the better way to go.
And almost take your steady income stream for something that is taxable and then the extra from something that maybe
right.
isn't.
Right.
And thus just work with those numbers to get it right yeah. and not zero.
Yeah, it's kind of what we call tax diversification. You mm-hmm. have that way. You have that baseline. If it's all 401k or IRA, then you have that baseline thing of having your own pension plan that's managed for you. And then you have this other bucket of money or a resource that covers the vacations and the cars and those mm-hmm. kind of things. So that's the ideal situation. And you should keep that balance forever.
Remember when I said we weren't going to talk taxes?
I know.
And
I
that's all we've
would.
Done.
I know. I sucked in.
You
I just
did.
Like,
my yeah. favorite thing, right? Yeah. But one of the personal things to think about, too, when you're approaching retirement, the money side may be all taken care of. You've got a plan. You know where you're going to draw your income from. But what are you going to do in retirement? If you've been working all of your life and you've been taking care of people and having people count on you and do all that, we had an advisor that worked with us. And when she retired, she said, no one calls me anymore for help. I used to have people call me about everything. It was like, should I send my kids to college? Should I do this? How do I do this? And all of a sudden, my phone doesn't ring. Her sense of purpose went down. She had a much harder time with that than she ever did on the financial side. Mm-hmm. So when you're leaning towards retirement, think about what is your purpose going forward? What are you going to fill your time with now that you have a lot of it?
Right. I always tell people retire to something instead of away from something, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a client, well, she's still a client there from years ago, and she was a nursing manager at St. Al's, and she retired, and I said, don't. You know, this next 6 months might be tough on you because you won't have all those responsibilities and you're just going to be. And like a year later, she called and she goes, you were wrong. You were wrong. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, you said that I wouldn't like being retired. Well, I do. I love it. And I don't miss it at all. So so sometimes it works out.
Yes.
But guys, especially guys, yes. have a harder time. In
their
the
early identity.
Retirement years.
Yep. Because when you walk into anywhere, it's like, well, what do you do? That's the common question. I was actually listening to a podcast and how they're trying to teach you not to make that the go-to question. But that's what you do. Like, what do you do? What do you fill your time with, right? And men usually tend to go into this. Women tend to say, oh, talk about their children. So they have a different sense of purpose. Not everyone. We're being generalizing here. But they do. Men tend to focus on one thing, women on others. So what are you going to fill your time yeah, with?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'd love a phone call. We're almost done, but we'd love to talk to you. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo today. It's been great. Went too quick, like always, right?
Yeah, well, very quick since Dave ran over for his segment.
He did, but it was
Tuesday,
a great segment, right?
Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good segment.
It is. He and Kevin do a great job. The only bad thing is they moved it to a time that's not great for me. So I don't know why they did that.
I think it's Bo's problem.
It's Bo's fault.
Bo's fault.
Bo, you don't know. I used to listen to it on my drive in, and now it's inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Yeah. Way to go.
Yep.
All right. So one thing to think about, too, as you're leaning towards retirement is how taxes work. I don't know how many people tell me now that I'm retired, I shouldn't pay taxes. I don't know where that came from. But it's like, I'm 65, I have Social Security,
yeah.
and I have
that. I just
that,
got my purse,
yeah.
I don't have to pay taxes anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Sail off into the sunset.
Yeah, I wish that's how it worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. And Social Security can really become this spiral, right? So when you're taking income, you got to understand that up to 85% of your Social Security could be taxed.
Yep.
So if you're drawing income from a source and all of a sudden you take a little extra from somewhere else and you start Social Security and your income jumps, it can be disturbing. We've had people actually come to Tom and go, why did my taxes go up so much?
Mm-hmm.
Because I started Social Security
yep.
and we were planning on that, paying estimates on that, and then you get $40,000 of Social Security income.
Yep. And it's a whiplash effect. They just like, what happened? And
mm-hmm.
so that whenever you take Social Security, you need to plan that out really well on your taxes and also where your other income is coming from. Not that you have to make changes because of that. Just understand what's coming.
Okay.
And you can have federal taxes withheld from your Social Security if you want to.
Yes.
So that isn't a, you know, I have quite a few people that do that. So it's kind of like the tax need to be paid somehow. Doesn't have to be from Social Security, but some people like it that way. So,
and just because you get to the magical age of 62 and you're eligible for Social Security doesn't mean you should take it. They do give cost of living adjustments as well as it increases by 8% a year. So if you don't need the money, I always look at it and say you're giving up cost of living, you're giving up that automatic 8% to get income and then pay tax and then put it in savings and earn zero.
Yeah.
So if you don't need it, let it grow.
I always get the, well, my uncle died and he never got to take hardly any. 1 month in and he died. So I'm taking it early because he died. And he smoked 3 packs a day. Of course he died early. So don't base some sort of, or you've used some sort of relative or friend as a cop out to take it early. You really look at the numbers and see what's best for you, especially if you're the higher wage earner in the family.
Yeah, because the larger amount of Social Security stays for both life. So in other words, if one of you waits till 70 and your benefit's $4,000, someone else takes it at full retirement at $1,500, one of you passes, the higher amount stays. So it's super important to kind of maximize that benefit when you're looking at different income sources. Again, this is something you plan for and you can get help by just sitting down and looking at it.
Right. And there's a lot of different things to consider. They're not as much as it used to be because they had a lot of other little gimmicks you could do, and that's pretty much gone. But still very worthy of having a good Social Security plan instead of just taking it whenever.
Yeah. And when you look at how to invest your money when you retire, it's not, again, not an all or nothing thing. Some people want to get super conservative once they get to retirement age. It's a little bit easier now because there is a little more yield on the more what they consider conservative asset classes. But that doesn't mean you can't have some growth, right? If you buy a bond that basically pays you a certain amount until it matures, then gives you your money back, then you have to go buy another bond and you have less buying power because inflation's high. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at the market and that growth potential to help offset inflation, cost of living adjustments, increasing of income through dividends. So your basket of investments may look slightly different, but not completely, because people live a long, long time now.
Yeah, you have to be very strategic about that. You can't just, again, plan for it. Don't just let it happen, you know, and like we were talking about before, look at the lay of the land. 2 years ago, a year ago, we wouldn't have been saying buy bonds. Now we're talking about buying bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So things change, and your investments need to, too.
Yes, but not all or nothing. Remember that, because mm-hmm. it's funny when we talk about making changes and we say stay tight and don't do anything, Fidelity study, leave it alone. That doesn't necessarily mean there's not small adjustments that will make your retirement easier and better, and you start living off of what your investments generate instead of just looking for the best performer.
And I think a lot of times people are still getting it, and now it's in the new term of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. And they're like going, well, stocks, yeah, but what about Bitcoin? And you go, you wouldn't even buy a mutual fund mm-hmm. of 1,000 different holdings, but now you want to jump into something you hardly know of, and you say you're conservative.
But
and
it's so funny.
Over and over and over.
It does. And see, now it's the whole rage last year with SPACs, which are those special purpose acquisition mm-hmm. companies, and all these things that came up. And then they blow up and then they go away.
NFTs.
But there will be another one, right?
Right.
And then another one will come up and ESG's the raised and then it's mm-hmm. not. So don't get caught up in what's hot, because it usually, if you don't understand what you're buying, it doesn't usually tend to work out.
And if it's a fad investment, then it'll probably be a fad.
Right. So the main thing that I hope you listen from this is everything requires a little bit of proactive planning. We always say don't go triage. Plan for it, because if you start to do the work in advance and you're not stuck in a moment of going, oh my gosh, what do I do? If you know what you're going to do in retirement, you have some goals and some objectives, income desires, just look at those before you get to retirement, make a plan for distributions and everything that goes with it. We love doing this. Can't wait to do it again. If you have questions during the week, petsofinancial.com, you can shoot us a message there. Have a wonderful weekend.